Nothing like a little hockey talk on July 29th. Let's say hello to Toronto product Mark Giordano, the Flames captain. Gio, how are you?
Good. How are you, Ryan?
I am well. Where do we find you on this fine Friday morning?
Back in the city in Toronto. I was out in Calgary last week for Chris Russell's wedding, and played in the Hockey Alberta golf tournament over the weekend, and back home during the week. So yeah, back in Toronto.
No, I know the Chris Russell story well. This is a guy that owns cattle and livestock. He's got bulls in the Calgary Stampede. What was his wedding like?
Oh, it was great. You know, myself, my background being Italian, it was a little bit of a change. Great ceremony on his property, and the actual wedding took place in the Kurt Browning Arena in his hometown, right on the ice surface. So it was pretty cool and a little bit different for me.
A little two-stepping, some cowboy boots, I bet.
Oh yeah, Gord Banford was playing too, so that was a treat, and it was a lot of fun and a lot of getting together with guys from the team and having a good time. So it was a lot of fun.
No, I got a little insight here. It sounds like the Western boys are putting a challenge forth to you and you know, Dennis Wideman, TJ Brody, some of the Ontario boys. Who held their own in this evening of two-stepping in an arena for someone's wedding?
Yeah, well, I definitely didn't, but TJ Brody and Wides are, you know, Brodes is from Chatham, and Wides is, you know, he's living out in Waterloo now, so he's originally from Elmira. So I mean, they held their own, but I sort of just stood off to the side and bobbed my head a little bit.
How do you split your time now between here and Calgary, given that you're from Toronto, but you've put some deep roots in Calgary? You're entering I believe a 6-year extension with the club. You've been their captain and had a nice playoff run in the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, I think for me, in the off season, I try to get home as much as possible. I have a place out here in Toronto as well. My wife and I, we both were born here in the city, and we have a lot of friends and family from here. So, you know, spending most of our year out in Calgary during the season, when we do get some time off, we try and get back and visit and do the rounds, I guess, in the summer and try and get in contact with all our friends and family from when we moved. And no, it's been great. Obviously, this year, the team not doing as well, not making playoffs was a disappointment. But when things like that do happen, you have to take advantage of the extra time and the opportunity to see all your family.
For sure. Your story is an incredible one. You did not play major junior until you were 19, if I'm correct. And you had to go to Russia to get a one-way deal out of Daryl Sutter when you were in your mid-20s. Those aren't necessarily incredibly uncommon things, but what are uncommon about those two is that you followed it up with Norris-caliber seasons. You've been top 15 in Norris voting 3 years in a row beyond the age of 30. I mean, everything about your story is late bloomer. Why is that?
I think just experience. I think I was pretty raw when I first, even going back to junior. I mean, I developed later as a, you know, I grew 6 inches in one summer, I think, when I was 16. But I developed later as a player, and I think especially when I turned pro, the experience wasn't there for me, and I just ran around a lot and didn't play well defensively and had to really learn the game. And it took me a lot longer than some of the elite players, I think. Most defensemen breaking into the NHL, I like to think it takes between 200 and 300 games to really get that experience and that ability to be calm in your own zone and not panic. So, I started a bit later than everyone else. It does take those years to gain that experience. And by that time, I was 30. So I guess that's my answer.
Well, you get 21 goals last year in your 32-year-old season. That's a career high by quite a margin. I mean, 14 was your prior high. This is incredibly not normal, a 32-year-old posting career highs in points, in goals. Your ice times continue to rise as you've gotten past 30. You are the shining beacon for all defensemen out there that, yes, I can play my best hockey after 30.
Yeah, well, you know what? I always look back to, I guess when I started playing, that was the norm, right? The older players and guys sort of in, at the end of their 20s and into their 30s, that was really the peak of your career. And that, and I believe with all the off-ice assistance we get now as far as nutrition and training, there's no reason why guys can't play well into their 30s and excel and get better almost deep into your 30s. I mean, I played with one of the best best guys in Jerome McGinley as a role model for that. He keeps himself in great shape. He eats properly. He does all the little things off the ice that help him be what he is. And he's played, obviously, deep into his 30s and produced. So I think the game's obviously changed. You know, with all the younger guys now excelling at such a young age, it was just different when I first came in. And I still think there's that opportunity for a lot of us, I guess us guys getting older, to you know, sort of have our best years. I still feel like I can produce and get better. To be honest, I feel like I signed a 6-year deal, and I when I signed it, I told Tree I think I'm gonna be able to play it out and play it out at a good level.
You mentioned Jerome, a guy that you looked up to and that showed you the way, a captain before he left Calgary at the deadline. I believe that lockout shortened year. What's it like following a guy like that, who was probably the most recognizable human in the city, as the captain that has to follow him?
I think it made it easier, to be honest, on me, because nobody in the city expects me to fill his shoes and live up to his career. So we're obviously two totally different players. We play a different position. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I thought, in my opinion, I thought it made it easier. You know, you didn't have these great expectations to live up to a guy who's, you know, scored 600 goals and is a Hall of Famer. So, no, I just, when I was named captain, I have a good relationship with everyone in the organization from top to bottom. And the message to me was just, say the same, be yourself, don't try to change anything, and that's what I've tried to do over the past three seasons.
One thing that has changed, a new head coach and a totally different netminding duo behind you this season. Have you had any communications with Glenn Gullitson, the new bench boss?
Yeah, I had a couple of good talks with him. I met him at the went and spoke with him at the draft and over the phone a few times, and yeah, it's been really positive. I think you know, anytime a new coach comes in, there's that excitement going into camp for some guys who wanted a clean slate and needed a clean slate, and then for other guys it's you got to prove yourself again, and you always, no matter what situation you're in, I think you want to make a good impression, and I can guarantee you a training camp will be ramped up this year, and guys will be looking to do that.
The World Cup of Hockey is around the corner in September. You are not on this Team Canada roster, although I'm sure you are not far down the depth chart. If people have bad off seasons or injuries, those do happen. What's the level of excitement surrounding this tournament, given that it's the first of this sort of relaunch of a tournament that was last in its heyday in the early 90s?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be great. I think the city of Toronto, you know, is really excited for it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the best players playing against each other. So there's going to be a high quality of play on the ice, and that's going to bring excitement. There's going to be a buzz for sure. And obviously disappointing not being able to play in it, but I'll be a huge fan, and I'll be watching the games and cheering for Canada for sure.
It's funny, you got some teammates spread around some different rosters. Johnny Gaudreau will be on that under 23. While unusual in the sense that there's a team collected of just age guys from North America in terms of the young ones, there's some star power. You're going to have Jack Eichel there. You're going to have Connor McDavid. You know Gaudreau. This is Austin Matthews, a future Leaf. That's going to be a team to watch, isn't it?
If I had a sleeper pick, I would pick them. You know, I like Canada as being the favorite, but If there was a team I think that's going to surprise people and make a little run, I'd go with that team. I think you're right. They have a young team with a lot of firepower, and really I think they're going to be the one team that goes out there and sort of plays with that nothing to lose mentality, because they really aren't expected to, you know, to win it. So they'll probably
be
the team that goes out there and has the most fun. Yeah. sometimes that goes a long way.
Mark, pleasure. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. Best of luck the rest of the offseason and into next season with the Flames.
Okay, Ryan. Good talking to you.